We are going to title the message Heavy Metal Detox. Heavy Metal Detox. And there might be folks looking at the sermon title, and everybody have notes. And they want to hear a sermon against rock music. And you will hear that. It'll just be toward the end of this message. Other people want to hear something about health, and you're going to hear a lot of that. And so understand I got a dual title here, Heavy Metal Detox. And we're going to talk about it. My text to begin with is in Numbers 11, verse 7. The manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And so it was round like coriander, but it was the color of delium. And Lord, we do pray that You'll bless the preaching. Let us have ears to hear. Good ground to put the seed upon, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. God's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, right? And so, amen. We need to learn that He has things about our spirit and our soul, but also about our body. And these are important because in this age, we need to be strong. You need to be strong in any age. But we're living in perilous time. And you need a lot of physical strength, a lot of moral strength. And it's very important that we study what God has for us in the Scripture, that we can be physically strong, physically healthy to the degree God wants, not the diseases of the Egyptians upon us, and certainly not the sins of the Egyptians. Amen? Before looking at coriander, though, because this verse is here, and that's going to be my main point, is the coriander today. We've seen in previous studies that several authorities, ancient and modern, define delium in this verse as a product of the palm tree, such as palm sugar. And if God mentions delium and gives you this word, is it dead Scripture? Does He want His Scripture to be dead? And if there's nothing else in the Word of God that tells you about it, you have to go to some history and look and study and get some ideas. And I believe He's revealing things for this generation. And we already know the palm trees in the Bible. We know how important that palm tree was, just like the pomegranate tree and the apple tree and the grape tree, etc. And so, I believe the palm tree is very, very important. What is delium? According to William Ferguson in the Palmera Palm of 1850, he says, Springle, in his Historia Rei Herbaria in 1807, tells us that Borassus flabelliformis, it is from that tree, according to the testimony of both Camphor and Rumphius, that delium is procured. So, several authorities here that say there's a palm tree. This is the palm tree where you get palm sugar from. And they said delium comes from that tree. Wikipedia tells us that this Borassus flabellifer, F-L-A-B-E-L-L-I-F-E-R, that's the modern of what they're calling flabelliformis there, is the Asian palmera palm. It's the sugar palm. It's a palm tree, one of the sugar palm group called Thot Nhat in Vietnamese. And you go there and you get that Thot Nhat sugar. And it's so much better than your cane sugar. And it's not a drug like the cane sugar. That doesn't mean you eat a whole bunch of it. It's honey in the Bible is good, isn't it? But don't eat too much lest you get sick and that type of thing. Now, Free Dictionary says that this Borassus, the same tree as the tall fan palm of Africa and India and Malaysia, yielding a hard, wooden, sweet sap. Lady Mary of Calcutta, a scripture herbal of 1842, says Springle, says that delium is produced by this same palm tree and that this palm grows wild in Arabia and on the south coast of Persia. John Kitto in his Encyclopedia of Biblical Literature says Pliny's description of the tree from which delium is taken makes Camphor's assertion highly probable that it is this sort of palm tree so frequently met with on the Persian coast. Easton's Bible Dictionary says delium was probably an aromatic gum, like balsam, which exuded from a particular tree, that same tree that palm sugar comes from, still found in Arabia. Also the view of McClintock and Strong Cyclopedia. Theophilus Redwood, a supplement to Pharmacopoeia in 1857, says the same palm tree, the palmera tree, yields toddy and also delium. A wine and sugar are made from the sap of the trunk. Scottish Christian Herald of 1840 says, in the opinion of many eminent Oriental scholars, delium is the resin obtained from the Borassus flabelliformis. The tree is a genus of palms. A wine and sugar are made from the sap of this palm. A gum resin extracted from the same plant is supposed to be the ancient delium. This was one of the products of the land of Havilah, which it is said abounded in gold, delium, and onyx stone. In the book of Numbers, it is expressly stated that manna was as the color of delium. Now, manna was white like hoarfrost. This is nearly the description of the color of the sugar made from this Borassus tree. And probably this, with the resin, was the delium brought from Havilah in Genesis 2, which is what I've said a few years back. So, the Classical Journal of 1810 says, we learn from Pliny that delium was the gum of a tree. I am inclined to think it was what is called the milk of the palm tree. This is a favorite food with Oriental nations, of a sweet taste and very nutritive. The Samaritan word clearly comes from the Chaldaic, which signifies any delicate food. The milk of this palm tree, which is of a white gelatinous substance, may be compared with manna, as delium is in Numbers 11:17. And several scores of other testimonies arriving at the same conclusion. Psalms 119:103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. We ought to love the Word of God and the sweet things that the Lord gives us, such as His honey, and I believe this delium. The sweet things that God gives us are a picture of His Word, His Holy Bible, and we ought to learn from that Bible to hate every false way. Love truth, love God, and hate evil, and hate every false way. Now let's go back to the real... I just wanted to cover that, give you a little update about delium. Switch from cane sugar and high fructose corn syrup to palm sugar and honey and the natural things that God made. I know cane sugar can be natural, but there's some plants that are actually drugs, and they haven't been used in the Bible. They haven't been used by the ancients. And when they finally saw people in the Middle Ages, the Arabians, with those cane sugar, it says they became sluggish. They had all the signs that we associate today with diabetes, and certainly we have a diabetes epidemic. So there's some things that are just not designed for your body, and I do not believe cane sugar is designed for your body. But our text, the manna was as what? Coriander seed. Coriander seed. So let's examine coriander seed. Coriander is actually cilantro. And we covered this back when we studied biblical nutrition, and we did a study on coriander. And last week we were studying the heavy metal toxins that come from various kitchenware and cookware. And Brother David had mentioned about the cilantro being having the ability to detoxify the body. And since it's mentioned in your Bible, I want to make sure we pick up on that and really stress that for this age. You understand? It's very important. Cilantro is just a Spanish word for coriander. All parts of the plant are edible. It's from the parsley family, so obviously parsley will also have some of the same qualities as coriander. Exodus 16 says the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white. Last week, we studied the cookware, kitchenware of the Bible. And we noticed that in the Bible, they used baskets, they used wood vessels, they used stone, they used pottery, they used iron, etc. But we found they didn't use plastic, they didn't use aluminum, they didn't use Teflon, and they also didn't use stainless steel. We noticed various studies showing that such metals can leach into your food and drink from your kitchenware, resulting in terrible afflictions, as well as the fact that stainless steel is mostly made from recycled metals and is increasingly found to be radioactive. So, and I've done a lot more study on the lawsuits that people are having, because stainless steel, really, there's not much of a difference between that and surgical steel. The surgical steel actually has more nickel, sometimes more chromium, and you come in contact with the chromium, and what happens is when that touches your bodily fluids and begins to touch metal on metal, then that metal leaches into the body, and now people are having high million-dollar lawsuits to these companies that are putting these things in people's body. Now, toxic kitchenware is not the only source of heavy metal poisoning, but I thought it was very important last week to stress that we're trying to live right. We're trying to be strong. I'd like you to be able at 85 years old to have the strength of a 40-year-old, and I'd like you at 40 to be strong because it says the glory of young men is their strength. So I want to get back to some biblical expectations and not look at what we're the Egyptians that we're dealing with today and the diseases and weaknesses upon them and let that be our standard. Do you understand? I want to look beyond that, and I believe we're going to need to fight some battles in this generation, and you're going to need strength. And nevertheless, it's government. I believe in church government. I believe in family government. And I believe in self-government. And part of your self-government is the stewardship of your body, being all you can be in Jesus by following the keys of the Bible. Now, we talked about that. I'm not going to get off on it today any further. But I want you to realize that you do a lot of things right, and you stay away from swine, you stay away from all these things. And it's very important to know that if you're getting toxic metal poisoning from your cookware, and you're ingesting it, and your children are touching it and putting it in their mouths, that bugs and bacteria can hide in these heavy metals in your body. And it's far more dangerous than you've ever imagined. And we need to understand that. But there's other ways to get heavy metal poisoning. There's aluminum that's found and used in so many household products. We touched upon this. Deodorants, aluminum foil, your cans. Then there's vaccines. They're filled with heavy metals, and they're wanting to always stick them in people's body, you know. There's dental fillings. Finally got the rest of those out of my wife's mouth, and praise God for that. And definitely I would advise you to try to get those out of your mouth if you've got metal. It's just the gas, the vapors that are coming from that mercury. It can't be good for you. It can result in toxic overload. Also, there's pesticides and chemical fertilizers in non-organic foods are a common source of heavy metal poisoning. People say, well, I like pesticides with my food, and they like a little joke about it. You don't understand. You're getting toxic heavy metal poisoning from the pesticides and fertilizers that they're using in these foods. And that's another reason to go organic. The toxic metals result in constant infections, neurological problems, and an endless list of afflictions that we'd be here all day talking about the symptoms. In fact, a lot of people go to the doctor for symptoms that are from probably heavy metal toxic poisoning that they got from their non-organic food and from their cookware and from their deodorant and all. Just modern lifestyle, modern post-1940 lifestyle in America is a chemical, GMO, crazy age. And in regard to our spiritual health, you know that it's not enough to cleanse ourselves and renew our minds through confession, reading the Word, and going to church. We must also avoid or flee even the appearance of evil. Don't you believe in both? What if you came to church? What if we did like the Catholics sometimes and used that Mass as just your, well, I'm going to go out and sin. I went to the Mass, though. I didn't understand anything. It was in Latin, but I went to the Mass. You know, that's how a lot of Christians use church. I'm not going to change my life during the week, but hey, I went to church this week and it got me straight for the next week. No, aren't you supposed to change your life when you confess your sin? Didn't He say if you confess and forsake your sins? So the whole point is, yes, you need to come to church. You need to read the Word. You need to confess your sins. But shouldn't you also be stopping the sin? All right. Now, the same is true in regard to our physical health. Whatever is the cause of metal poisoning, we should detoxify our bodies, shouldn't we? But we should also avoid these unnatural sources of toxicity in the first place. So by all means, people say, do you know what I can do to get rid of heavy metal poisoning in my body? Yeah, I know a few things you can do. But one thing you can do is stop poisoning yourself. I mean, let's get that straight. And people say, yeah, I want to live a life where I can go to McDonald's and eat the McRib and eat out of aluminum and plastic and just live this regular life. But I need a cleanse, you know. Well, yeah, you need a cleanse. But one of the things you need to mainly do is quit your wicked habits morally and quit these unwise habits in your physical life. Amen? Now, when it comes to heavy metal detoxification, cilantro, which is our biblical coriander, is amazing. Natural News has a good article on this, and I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. They already said it, so I'm going to put it here. Cilantro, herb assist, and heavy metal detoxification. When you understand how pervasive heavy metals are and the problems they cause, it'll probably become important to you to remove them from your body. Fortunately, with the help of a little cilantro, you can do effective heavy metal detoxification right in your own home. Have a look at some common sources of heavy metals. Non-organic foods, that's right. The water supply, that's right. Mainstream deodorant, cigarette smoke, and over-the-counter drugs, that's right. And we can go on and on and on. So you're getting an overload of toxic arsenic and heavy metals in your body from all types of sources in this chemical age. There was never a better time or more important time in the history of man to discover the detoxifying effects of coriander. And I believe it's in the Bible. You say, you ought to preach the Bible. This is Bible. I tell you what, my God said that you live by every word of God. And God told me that if you'll obey all His statutes, that He'll put none of these diseases upon you. And my God didn't put coriander in the Bible for no reason. He had a reason for putting that in the Bible. And I tell you what, I believe we ought to discover some of those reasons in this generation. And bless you, amen? It'll bless you. Natural News goes on and says the anti-inflammatory and detoxification power of cilantro, a medicinal herb whose seeds are known as coriander, is greatly underrated and largely unknown in Western culture today. Now that's amazing. It's anti-inflammatory. This is something you'll find over and over again. If God put something in the Bible and expected you to put it in your mouth, it is anti-inflammatory. But man's foods, 9 times out of 10, if they're not in the Bible, or if Americans are addicted to it, if Americans always have it on their table and it's not in the Bible, you better back up. Because only Satan could have done that. He comes to steal, doesn't he? He wants to steal your life from you. And he comes to destroy, does he not? So if you find Americans addicted to something, it's not in that book, I tell you, there's a devil in it. And when I say a devil, then I mean there's a devil behind it. He's wanting to kill you. He's wanting to give you inflammation. Inflammation of your lung. Inflammation of your joint. Inflammation of your body. And but God's foods, God's herbs are anti-inflammatory and they detoxify the body. Now, if you suffer from a chronic inflammatory disease, which can manifest itself as arthritis, an autoimmune disorder, heart disease, brain fog, fatigue, and irritable bowel syndrome, and a number of other debilitating illnesses, then cilantro just might be the natural solution for you. People say, well, don't you preach about it? I'm going to preach, I tell you what. But I think we ought to preach about some self-government. I'll get to heavy metal here in a little bit. I'm going to do some preaching. But I tell you what, I think you can listen to some preaching in this age about your own self-government. Amen? I tell you what, it might give you a little more motivation and be healthy where you can take care of some of this moral sins in your life. Amen? All right. Dr. James A. Duke, Ph.D., says that drinking a cup of cilantro leaf tea can remedy any form of stomach discomfort. Cilantro is also a natural antiseptic that can help wounds heal more quickly and is a natural chelator of heavy metals from the body. I got to get me some cilantro. I got some at home already. I just need to make me some tea. I'm going to do it when I go home. Eating several tablespoons of cilantro-based pesto every day, and here's a recipe for you, here's the link, or supplementing with cilantro capsules is an excellent way to help cleanse your body of toxic heavy metals like mercury, arsenic, and lead, which can accumulate in tissue and elsewhere as a result of repeated environment and dietary exposure. Do not, if I take my cilantro, let's go to McDonald's. That's not my point, folks. But let's do what we can, amen? Let's do both. Let's stop putting them in and let's detoxify whatever's already in there. That's how it is with sin, okay? You got this heavy metal music that's already in you. I tell you what, you've got riffs and lyrics and rap lyrics and things that are down there in your heart. It's there. And there's a spirit that comes with it. You need to detoxify that stuff. But hey, let's stop putting them in, amen? Let's stop putting them in at the same time. All right. As far as inflammation is concerned, results from the All India Institute of Medical Sciences in New Delhi found that rats given a powdered extract of coriander seeds to treat rheumatoid arthritis experienced far less swelling and inflammation compared to rats given a steroid treatment for the condition. So right there, that tells you steroids have an antihistamine, anti-inflammatory response. Of course, they curse you in other ways, but they give them to people for that response. But here, coriander does the same thing without the side effects. So, amen, that's poor man's. And I tell you what, God blesses the poor man if you let him. Natural News in another article says, cilantro not only tastes great, it also binds the heavy metals and helps remove them from your body. Add cilantro to your meals. It can help remove heavy metals. Add dark, green leafy vegetables, which contain chlorophyll, a helpful detoxifier. I tell you what, they sat down, they ate that Passover, but they also had what with it? Bitter herbs. That's exactly right. The herbs of the mountains, these bitter herbs, these dandelions, and this parsley, and all of these things, this kale, and these collard greens, and all of these things which detoxify your body, that chlorophyll. It's like blood. You know, there's not much difference between chlorophyll, that plant blood, and your own blood. That people have lost blood, and instead of they can actually have a couple of bottles of chlorophyll and not need a blood transfusion. I mean, it's amazing. Also, spices such as turmeric, says Ultra Prevention, the six-week plan that will make you healthy for life by Mark Hyman, MD. And we've heard about turmeric and chlorophyll, but also add cilantro to your cleanse, your detoxification. Organic foods decrease the toxic burden that pesticides cause. Cilantro, parsley, dark leafy greens help to bind up toxins such as heavy metals for excretion. Your drug-free guide to digestive health by Heather Caruso. And we already know, drinking leafy greens, making some shakes, eating them salads every day, add some parsley to your food, that cilantro, it goes up and cleanses that body of them toxins. That's good to know, ain't it? Yolanda, B-E-R-T-A-U-D, Bertaud, with a bunch of initials and abbreviations after her name. Says organisms were able to use, in one study, this is very interesting, organisms, the kind you don't want in your body, were able to use the toxic metals to protect themselves from medicine. Isn't that interesting? So you have this overload of mercury and aluminum and things in your body, and these little beasties get in there, these little cancer worms and these little infections and things, they get in there, and you're trying to give medicine to try to kill them, and probably using the doctor's medicine anyway, but whatever medicine you're given, they're hiding in those toxic metals, and they can't get rooted out. While he was testing for these toxic metals, Dr. Amura discovered that the leaves of the coriander plant, cilantro, could accelerate the excretion of mercury, lead, and aluminum from the body. By chance, he discovered an inexpensive, easy way to remove or chelate toxic metals from the nervous system and body tissues. So people are trying to study chelation and all of this cleansing of the blood and everything. And way back in the wilderness, God was giving them coriander, and they had automatic way to purify the blood and clean their bodies of these metals. Isn't that amazing? I highly recommend you take advantage of this poor man's chelation treatment. All it takes is adding a quantity of cilantro to your daily diet for 2 or 3 weeks. You could add a handful of fresh cilantro to a salad or mix a couple of teaspoons of cilantro pesto. Heavy metal poisoning is rampant. It is a major cause of hormonal imbalances. Wow. Cancer, thyroid problems, neurological disturbances, learning problems, depression, food allergies, parasites, etc. Cilantro is truly a healing food. One friend suffering from high blood pressure due to mercury poisoning had her blood pressure return to normal after eating 2 teaspoons of this pesto daily for only a week. Cilantro is a natural substance that is good news for people suffering from the ill effects of these mercury dental fillings. As you study this a little more, you find that cilantro contains antioxidants. It's antibacterial. It's used as a treatment for diabetes. But in summary, chlorophyll in the leafy greens binds to heavy metals. But cilantro has additional detoxification, chelation properties. And I actually have an actual medical study here from ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. It says results suggest that Chinese parsley, which is cilantro, has suppressive activity on lead deposition, probably resulting from the chelation of lead by some substances contained in Chinese parsley. So they took these rats, gave them lead poisoning, gave them cilantro, and it chelated the lead out of their bodies. So there it is. There it is for you. Boy, I tell you what, we need to know that in this day and age. Amen? Thanks for reminding me of that, Brother David. That's important. Charcoal. The word coal is seen in the word charcoal, isn't it? What charcoal is you burn wood, and when it's deprived of oxygen and it burns, it becomes charcoal, and it's very porous. So now it can collect whatever is in its surroundings there. And so coal in the Bible is in Isaiah chapter 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Now that's from the brazen altar, and that's where the sin offering was. And certainly we know that the sacrifice of Jesus purges us from all sin. But interestingly, the coal itself was touched to his lips. And of course, that's a picture of sin being purged. But perhaps there's a little something there about the ability of coal to purge. And certainly we know heat purges and that type of thing. But if there's a way I can take the coal without burning my lips off, then maybe that would be a better plan. For what it's worth, I thought we would speak about charcoal for a moment, and I'll show you there's other hints toward this in the Bible. In the Book of Health of 1828, it says, For mineral metal poisons, powdered charcoal has proved highly beneficial when other remedies have failed. That's when a doctor took all of his other colleagues, and it was in the 1800s, 1820s, I believe, and he stood up in front of them and drank a big glass of poison, and they were all backing up, and they were all shocked. And he said, How did you live? How did that not kill you? And then he had mixed it with charcoal, and the charcoal bound it up inside his body, adsorbed it. And what happened was he didn't die of the poison. And so if you've got poisons and toxins in your body and these heavy metals, whatever will go through your body and absorb them, whatever you can do, what a blessing that would be. And certainly charcoal. James Byrd wrote a book in 1857 called Vegetable Charcoal, Its Medicinal and Economic Properties. I won't stay long on it, but I will read some of this. The Medical Times endorses the book and said the medical effects of charcoal deserve investigation. Now, they're not going to tell you something that you could make in your backyard. The reason they got rid of this, they used to study all these things. But then they started saying, hey, if we can bind up these chemicals in our drug racket and keep them from the people, and they have to have a prescription to get them, then basically we have money, we hold the keys to health, and they're not telling you things that you can go do in your backyard to heal yourself, see. And of course, it's because of money. Its value as a remedy for indigestion and other painful disorders caused by malassimilated food has been very satisfactorily tested. Its utility as a deodorizing and disinfecting agent is vastly superior to that of any other substance with which we are acquainted. Charcoal powder has been for a long period a favorite remedy in America, the Indies, and in many parts of Europe for dysentery and the severe forms of fever prevalent on shipboard and in tropical climates. It will be at once perceived that wholesome food and proper use of it are of primary importance to a healthy condition of the body. Food, then, being evidently the staff of life, and also its chief enjoyment, how essential is it that in these particulars we exercise a sound judgment and especially guard against those indiscretion that invariably involve us sooner or later in endless discomfort, poisoning every enjoyment in life and hastening the advent of a premature old age. Blockheads of this sort are very likely to die suddenly, so persisting in foolishness concerning diet. Neither charcoal nor any other medicine can do them any good. So he's writing this book on charcoal. He says, hey, listen, I'm giving you a way to detoxify your body, but if you want to go be a blockhead, it's not going to do anything for you. So that's pretty good, 1857. Amen. M. Lowitz, a medical practitioner of St. Petersburg, in the year 1790, described how impure water could be rendered potable by charcoal. most of your Berkey filters and things, you know, are using this method, I believe, right? My friend Dr. Sayer informed me that he had prescribed charcoal in a severe case of cancer of the stomach, in which it fully succeeded in healing. There's a website called charcoalremedies.com that actually tells you how to make charcoal from wood pallets. And it's a very simple process, and he shows you the whole process. And what? Well, from what he described, he burned it down, and he took a grill and kind of covered it up where it didn't get much air, and then he just let it basically burn down without air, and then he took it and grinded down the charcoal, and there it was. For poisoning, says charcoalremedies.com, drug overdose and food poisoning for digestive and other gastrointestinal problems such as acid reflux, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, and gas. For poisonous bites, including bees, hornets, brown recluse, spiders, scorpions, poisonous snakes. It has a safety record that goes back 3,500 years. It's easy to make. And there's your site for making it from wood pallets. And I think the idea is just to use hard woods, whatever hard wood you can find. And okay, so I just include that because that's something you could take, a little bit of charcoal. You got something to add?
The chemical warfare gear that you have, it's covered in charcoal. You just hit it on there, you'll see it coming out. So that's obviously the...
Well, they do. Well, there it is. So, and if you're getting chemicals in your body, and it is a type of chemical warfare, because somebody is putting it in your body and putting it on this food, and they know good and well what it's doing to you. So you're under chemical warfare right now, in more ways than you realize. And we need to learn to protect ourselves from chemical warfare. Of course, don't just go running into their camp. You know, stay out of their restaurants and their camp. But when you can't escape it and you've already been a victim of this, let's use these things and just rediscover them in this generation, and what a blessing it'll be to our lives.
You mentioned, I remember they gave us also when we had our drills for chemical warfare, they give you these packets. You break the packet open, you put your hand in it like a little glove, and you pat yourself. There's charcoal all in it, covered all in your arm, in case you were exposed to any type of toxins and metals in the air from a nuclear. Yeah.
You have some?
Back in the days, I think they used charcoal to brush their teeth.
Yeah, I did that today. That's why they're real white. Now, at first, they don't look too white. But once you rinse it out, it's real shiny. So I thought I was in a lot of trouble. I'm like, oh man, I gotta keep my mouth shut tonight. But I just washed it a little more times, and shiny as can be. Yes, sir, brother. No. Charcoal, the ashes, if you just keep burning and keep burning, ashes are the gray stuff. But carbon is the charcoal. It's before you get to ashes. Yes, sir. That's what they do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, but that's one of the main ways they make it. Now, this is not your barbecue grill that you bought from Winn-Dixie charcoal, okay? With your lighter fluid all over. Yeah, Pastor said I can eat charcoal. That's good.
It's also not the little briquettes that you buy, but those little briquettes, because that's full of, what's the word I'm thinking? Not charcoal, coal. It's like petroleum junk and sawdust that they've mushed together. That's why it smells funny when you light it up. It doesn't smell like wood.
There you go. Yeah. And you can. I was at what's it called? What's the place down here that you buy stuff in Fort Worth? Town Talk. And it was like $6 and something, but they had a lot of bottles of charcoal tablets. You know, you see stuff like that, and you grab it because you're like, this can be very valuable. All right. Hyssop. Other related purifications are seen in Numbers 19. Notice Numbers 19, how prophetic this is. How, you know, while the Egyptians were using monkey dung and everything to stick inside their body, you know, here's God telling you, the priest shall take cedar wood. And cedar wood is amazingly anti... it's a disinfectant, as you know. And hyssop. Why hyssop? And scarlet. And cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. A man that is clean shall gather up the ashes. That's not charcoal, but it is the ashes of the heifer. And lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It's a purification for sin. Whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open field, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. We already know, if you touch that, what's on that? All kind of little beasties and bugs and things. And you touch it, and now you're going to get a disease, so now you need to be purified from those bugs, right? Unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop, dip it in the water, sprinkle it upon the tent, upon all the vessels, upon the persons that were there, and upon him that touched a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave. So, here's what they did. They took ashes, mixed it with water, and it became lye. Lye. And then they took that lye, which we know is antibacterial, and it's very strong. It's like bleach. You know, you have to be careful. You got to just stick it on whatever is a running sore or whatever, but you don't just... But what they did was they just dipped that hyssop in that lye water and had that cedar wood in there also, and they dipped that in there, and then they used that to wipe upon whatever needed to be purified. David mentions hyssop's ability to purge the body of impurities in Psalms 51. Purge me with hyssop. So therefore, now you know what? You not only know you need Jesus to forgive you of your sins and purge you, but now we know in the physical, what does hyssop do? It purges, and I shall be clean. So you need to detoxify yourself. You need to be purged. Hyssop is one thing you can use. And I shall be whiter than snow. Water mixed with ashes, as we said, hyssop and cedar will purify and disinfect. And you start thinking about this and go through the Scriptures. Certainly, it was a sign of humility to cover yourself in ashes, but there might have been a little more to it as well. You said, you think it was humility or you think that was a medical? What if it's both? What if it's both? Ashes are used to make lye soap, and reportedly they can help prevent infection and open sore. Job sat down in the ashes, and he had what did he have all over him? Boils and open sores. And he sat down in those ashes, and he says, I'm black. I bet he covered himself with that those ashes. And them ashes have that antibacterial effect. And sure, it's like putting bleach on your body. It'll burn. But I'm sure he needed that stuff burn off, you know? And the Lord healed him. And the Lord, but if the Lord's not in it, you're not going to be healed. You need the Lord to use these instruments, these means, to help heal you. All right. And we've mentioned also clay before we get to our spiritual application. John 9, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Now, this man was healed by a miracle of the Lord, not mere clay. However, it's a fact that the Lord causes the rain to fall and the sun to rise in Matthew 5:45. People say, oh no, it's because of our whatever, whatever, whatever law. No, my Bible tells me that in spite of that law, God makes it rain and God makes the sun shine. It's both. Can God use law and also, if He doesn't activate the law, if He's not upholding all things, nothing's going to work. So people say, well, I don't think clay was medicine. We know now we have medicine. You find me a doctor and tell, there's no doctor that'll tell you, if he does, he's a liar, that medicine can heal you. They know that something has to make that medicine heal. And most of the time, their medicine's not medicine, but you know my point. If God's not in it, it's not going to work. I believe fig leaves are anti-cancer. And when Hezekiah put them on his body, it healed him of that cancerous boil. And Isaiah told him to do it. Practice medicine without a license. And he told him, go put some fig leaves on there and it'll heal it. Put figs, actually. Figs are actually antibacterial, antiviral. He put them figs on there, and it healed them. You say, well, that was a miracle. Hey, God working through natural means. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We're about to do some building here. Unless God's in it, we labor in vain. Tornado come down and knock it all down anyway. You stretching? Amen, brother. All right. It's the same with all healing. So, like charcoal, clay is one of the greatest ways to detoxify the body. Clay is a strong absorbent that binds chemicals and metals. Use it in baths internally with water. And so let's get this cilantro. Let's get a lot of leafy greens and chlorophyll in our lives. Let's take some hyssop tea every now and then. Take some charcoal, a little bit of clay. And I'm not going to go into it right now because when we studied snake bite and the poison, the venom from the serpents, we did a long study on clay and some of the history and the doctors telling you to use it down through the ages. My brother. What did you use it for?
Well, and it was obviously the clay because, you know, sometimes you do something and then you get well like a couple days later and you're not sure if you would have just got better anyways, but this was like immediate. My wife got bit by a spider or we don't know what it was, but she had like a maybe a 6-inch diameter circle on her thigh that was red and raised and hot to the touch. It looked pretty bad, and there was like a little bite mark in the middle of it. And we put the clay on it and, you know, mixed it up with the water and put the clay on it, and like 15 minutes later, everything was totally gone. The heat was gone, the red was gone, everything. There was just that one little tiny mark. And then there was also another time when I took clay internally. I was a little leery of it because you could probably, if you take too much, you might clog yourself up. But I ate something, and I think it was good food, but it was somewhere where I was at there where there was a whole bunch of flies. And my body kept purging myself maybe, you know, every 10 minutes. It was really bad. Like, I was like, I don't even think I could go to church. And then I had to do something about it. So I took clay internally, and it just stopped it. It fixed everything. I think the clay just absorbed the, yeah, you know, poison that was in me or the bad bugs that were in me. It just absorbed them all, and then I was fine.
Hey, man, they've taken that charcoal and given them to sheep and things when they had, and then they did tests to see whether their nutrients were being, and the charcoal didn't take away their nutrients. It just got rid of the toxins, the metal, and not the nutrients.
Yeah, to add to I had an incident one time where I had it looked like a Lyme's disease bite, like a target, like the circle with the dot in the middle. And I opened up a charcoal capsule and poured the charcoal on it, and it was gone in about like 30 minutes to an hour.
You will find all types of ways to detoxify in the Bible. But my goal is, let's stick to things that are biblical or really verified in history in a secondary sense. Right now, you'll see all over, you'll see people talking about chlorella and other sea algae, seaweeds, and they'll say that this will detoxify. But actually, their role in water is to collect the impurities of the water. They collect all the pollution of the water. So God teaches us in the Bible that He's given us the green herbs of the earth, and He specifies of the earth, and not the waters, in context where they are separated from the waters. So I do not believe it's safe to take seaweed and chlorella and algae and these things. And then you start typing in what's behind the big health propaganda, and you start finding, you know, people are having websites talking about the hoax and how it messed them up and how it made them sick. And then you start looking at the fact that it's inflammatory. It's inflammatory. People are getting inflammation from the chlorella. And then you've got scientific studies that it's contaminated with viruses. And here's the paper here that shows that some of the giant chlorella viruses that are associated with it. And one of the biggest problems of trying to detox with these things is they're already filled with all the trash they got from the water, and then you're putting it in your body. That's a good way to get mercury toxification. And sure, it might bind the mercury, but it's already bound it before you even stuck it in your body. And perhaps you're getting heavy metal poisoning. So why would you do that? I don't understand. Why would you do that when God says, I've given you the things of the earth, and you've got all these other ways to detoxify? Why follow these health food scams with their latest propaganda behind it and end up with all types of trouble? This is why I say the Bible helps us sort through the maze of... because it's very confusing. People get into the realm of natural health. They get out from under the pharmaceutical mafia, and they start getting into the natural world. But the love of money is the root of all evil, whether you're dealing with the big gangsters or the smaller gangsters. And you might have people with good motives, but you need the Bible to help you guide this. And you got to roll up your sleeves. You got to study to show yourself approved. We need to test all things. But I believe that the Bible will be a light to our path. Amen? And it'll help us guide through these things. Let's get to our spiritual application now, which is so important. Not only should we avoid evil communications that corrupt good manners, but we should also detox and renew our minds by purging our hearts of spiritual toxins, such as heavy metal music, or whatever immoral music happens to be popular at the moment. And when I think of the fact that we need heavy metal detoxification, I think we need it physically, and I think we need it spiritually. We're a generation that's grown up. If you haven't grown up on actually heavy metal music, you still grew up on rock and roll or pop or some type of queer music or some type of rap music. Do you understand that? Most people. If you're raised in a Christian home without it, praise God. Praise God. You didn't get heavy metal poisoning in your veins. But most people have picked up spirits, attitudes, they dress, all of these things. It comes from queer, homosexual, sodomite. And I'm not trying to be mean when I use the word queer. The Bible says they go after strange flesh. Strange, perverted, it's wrong. I don't know a better word other than perverse or queer to describe the sodomites that are in our world today. And it's always a sign that you've hit bottom. When you have open, blatant sodomy, it's a sign that you've hit bottom. And when you have people say, well, I'm not a sodomite, but you're accepting of it. See, you've embraced the culture of accepting sodomy without abhorrence, without being shocked, without being disgusted. And that's what they want to do. They want to get society to that place. And when we get to a place like that in our world, you're at the bottom, folks. You're at the bottom. And it wasn't that long ago in the 40s and 50s where there were campaigns, active campaigns by our political leaders to shut down sodomy, or at least that was the public image that they were putting forth. But then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, it's accepted by the politicians. Well, now you have pedophilia properly and rightly demonized. But it'll be the same thing. Overnight, there'll be an awakening, and they'll look back, about the witch hunt on the pedophile. And see, then we will reach another bottom, if God even allows it to go any further. I hope not. Well, I do pray for mercy upon us, but I won't... God to cleanse the land of this evil too.
Brother, I was listening to talk radio today, and there's already psychologists talking about it, that it's, they're born that way, and there's nothing they can do about it.
That's where it starts.
That's right.
That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Now, it's no secret that heavy metal music glorifies rebellion and all that's evil. And please understand, when I use heavy metal and you say, well, we're not in the 80s anymore, understand, I'm talking about any of the various styles and flavors of it. See, whatever the culture happens to be, you understand. Dee Snider had a band called Twisted Sister. He was well known in rock circles for his hit song and video, We're Not Going to Take It, in 1984. So he made money, a lot of money, showing videos about children beating up their dads with guitars and rebelling against them. We're not going to take it. We're not going to take it. That's what the youth of America need. Dads trying to keep their kids from getting out on dope and drugs and daughters from becoming prostitutes. And that's what we need. We need little children and teenagers that haven't had their whole minds and maturity formed. We need them rising up and rebelling against their parents and saying, we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to go rebel and destroy our lives. And he's making money off of that. He made money off of that. And that's just wicked, isn't it? He dressed like a twisted woman, just like they all did, and glorified children rebelling against their father. He now makes demonic horror movies, so demonic that I can't even explain. I've never, of course, seen one, but I've read about what he says about them. And they're about bisexuals that are deranged and perverted that kill people. And it's just sick stuff. But you just see what's in his spirit. You see what's in his mind, what's in his heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, all this stuff comes from a heart that's not right with God. But notice how he describes heavy metal music. He says the intriguing thing about heavy metal music is how you've got these very feminine-looking musicians. There's definitely some weirdness about the whole male viewing guys looking like women. Or men being actually very strutty with a gay leather look. Some doctors need to look into this. So what does this man that made money being one of these people with red lipstick and looking like a crazy, twisted lady, he made money doing it. And he says, yeah, you're very weird that you like to get up and watch people, watch other men act and move in these ways and dress like this. There's something perverted about you. And whether it's in the rap world or rock world or whatever it is, when you like to watch those things and see men that are acting in these ways, he's right. Of course, he says, you need a doctor to look into it and explain it. Well, you don't need a doctor to look in and explain it. Let me tell you what it is. At the heart of rock and roll is homosexuality. At the very core foundation of rock and roll, just like the foundation of paganism, is bisexuality. And here's the reason. Satan desires to pervert God's highest earthly creation, which is man and woman. And he wants to pervert them. He made them male and female. So what's Satan going to do when he comes along? Can Satan create anything? So what's he do? Here's God's highest creation. He says it's good. So what's Satan going to do? He's going to say, woman, I want you to get in this place. You're going to lead the home. And man, you're going to get right here. I want you to dress like this. I want you to dress like this. I want you to act like this. And now he scrambles it all up and creates a GMO monstrosity. There it is. So homosexuality is the devil's ultimate desire to scramble and pervert what God has made upright. Which is why, if you're going to deal with rebellion, and your music's going to be rebellious, what does it have to always revert to? Homosexuality. Because homosexuality is the ultimate height of rebellion. And Satanists believe this. Satanists understand that. That it's the ultimate rebellion. Bisexuality and androgyny are therefore the foundation of all paganism and occultism, which we've proved at other times. It's seen in the two sides of the peace sign becoming one, the inverted tree of life, and in the cross-dressing of rock, pop, musicians. And sure, there's a lot of people sitting at these concerts that don't even understand, but there's others that know plainly what the peace sign represents. They know plainly what they're doing. They're the ones that are leading the whole thing. And, of course, the spirits of the air understand it. And they know what they're doing. The devil knows what his agenda is. And he said before that through the Gnostic and occult writers that their kingdom, their Antichrist kingdom, will come when women renounce the dress of their sex and you have this perversion. Now, this rebellious perversion is also discerned in the music itself. And I want you to understand this. Anybody can look and somebody that looks like he's effeminate, or you can't tell if it's a man or a woman, anybody can say, that's not right. But the music itself is already perverted. Let me explain. The rhythm and accompaniment could be described as the female of music. And in this type of music, it dominates the melody, which is the male. Which is why it's so important that when you get up here to sing, you don't grab the guitar and play, and you're playing so hard, and you're up in the mic, and then you're very, just in the back. What happened here is it's like you had veins coming over and covering up your face. Get in the mic and sing. Put the music back where it's supposed to be. Quit all that rhythm stuff and that's messing up the song. Back up. Put the music down where it's supposed to be and sing like a man over and put everything right side up. See? That's very important. It's very important. And you say, well, where did the other come from? Well, you have a whole generation that's grown up listening to perversion and queers and sodomite music and everything that's perverted. And you've grown up with that in your household, and it comes out naturally. And so you have to make an effort to put everything right side up and in its place. Now, I had a study around here somewhere. I could show you other things if we had time of how the music itself is upside down and perverted. The music itself is homosexual before you even have the musician. And so the fact that they begin to look and dress in a way that conforms to the music is just natural. It's a natural outflow of the music itself. Now, this whole modern rap, rock, pop, hip-hop, heavy metal, all of it grew out of men and women like Ma Rainey, who was born in 1886 and died in 1939. I would almost say go study Ma Rainey, but it's so pornographic and perverted and disgusting that I don't even want you looking at her lyrics. Most people don't understand it. They say, wow, the blues. Let's go back to the blues. It's more perverted and satanic and blasphemous, taking Jesus' name in vain, talking about every unseemly perversion and glorifying it. That's what blues was. That's blues. I'm not talking about the plantation songs and things. That's the camp meeting songs. And all of that's a good expression of Christian culture, of black culture, and it's a wholesome, godly heritage. But blues, what became blues and jazz in the early 20th century, it was from whorehouses. It's from whorehouses. It was perverted. It was deranged. Ma Rainey is called the mother of blues. She toured with Tommy Dorsey, who is called the father of gospel blues. And you can see the rise of gospel blues where he interviewed Dorsey in his old age and wrote a whole book from the transcripts of his interview interviewing Dorsey. And Dorsey said that him and Ma Rainey, I've shared it with you before, but that him and Ma Rainey and others would go to these whorehouses and play on Saturday night, and they would come into churches on Sunday morning and sing the same things, but all of the horrible things they were singing, they would just put the name Jesus on the edge of it. And it said it worked. People started embracing. Of course, at first it was resisted, but they said, get the whorehouse music out of the church. But you keep doing things enough. You keep doing things enough, people will receive it. People will receive it. And now here's something that's very important for you to understand. Ma Rainey was a known bisexual lesbian. She sang songs openly about her perversion. Even the advertisements of Paramount Records paraded her lesbianism. It shows two flapper girls, and here's Ma Rainey dressed like a man coming up with some blasphemous, perverted lyrics, and it's glorifying the perversion of bisexuality and lesbianism. That's where the blues began. The blues began in homosexuality. And as we said, all of the lyrics and music of this early blues jazz period is extremely vile and pornographic. You think of rock and roll in the 1950s, all rock and roll did was take the blues that was pornographic and lesbian and bisexual and blasphemed Jesus and cursed God's name and took that music and gave it to the suburban kids. And so they could now start singing songs with euphemisms and innuendos and things that were very blasphemous and uncouth and perverted. And what did it do to America? What did it do to America? Here we are, folks. This is your America. It came from bisexual music. It came from rebellious, satanic, bisexual music. And don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. That's one issue I've lived. Not a bisexual, no, not a homosexual. But I've definitely been a guitar teacher for most of my life, and as well as a heavy metal guitar player. And I know a lot of preachers like to say that, but I mean seriously, that's what I did. You know, I didn't play drums in a jazz band or something. No, I was a heavy metal guitar player. And but yet I always thought about it. I always thought about things. I was lost, blind, but I still question things, you know. And I've given you the story where we were going to play at this little club, and I put out flyers, come hear our music, no punk rock homosexual music. That's what was on our flyers. And the owners of the club and folks, they all gathered in this room, and they said, hey, come here, man. You can't hand out flyers like this. I'm like, why? I said, heavy metal, no punk rock homosexual music. They said, man, we like punk rock homosexual music. Like, I thought this was a metal club. And that's when, for the first time, I just got that little feeling, wow, I accidentally got on the wrong train. I'm on the wrong bus, man. I didn't know. How much of the spirit of this music in one form or another, is still in the hearts and minds of Christians today? It's a good question, isn't it? You say, I've repented of it. What? You can't listen to the news today. So-called, whatever they call news today. You can't listen to that without hearing this stuff. How much of the spirit of this stuff is still in your hearts? And this is why I'd like to say to all of the folks that are supposedly awake politically, let's get awake spiritually. Let's get awake spiritually. And understand, you're not going to have the healing of our land by glorifying the very thing that destroyed it. See, and I know a lot of these people, they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do. But what you're doing is everything that you're talking about can only be supported by a moral foundation. And you can't use the very music that tears down that moral foundation and expect God to come bless you and heal this land. You have to have a repentance. You got to have a repentance. He said, but I'm addicted to it. I need it. You're going to have to repent of it. You're going to have to repent. You know, and there came a time when there used to be these bands, Judas Priest, and where people knew you had, okay, the lead singer of Queen as a sodomite, and they knew the lead singer of Judas Priest as a sodomite. But really, the way Dee Snider puts it, there's something homosexual about the whole thing. And then in the 80s, of course, the men started these bands called Cinderella. It was glam rock and Poison, and they just totally looked like girls, you know. It was disgusting. But the whole thing, from Robert Plant getting up there, David Lee Roth wearing women's clothes. And you're like, wow, David Lee Roth, Van Halen, this is manly. Why is he in women's clothes? Wow, I need to go see Van Halen. That's David Lee Roth. Yeah, I feel like a man watching a woman, or a man look like a woman, moving and doing things that are unacceptable and gross while you watch it. There's something very strange about this. See, so I'm saying the whole thing comes from a homosexual root. The whole thing. The whole thing. You say, well, not in my rap. Want to make a bet? Here's class music. Closeted or not, homosexuality is and always has been present in hip-hop. And now we have new kids on the block, such as Leaf, Zebra Cats, and Miki, who are now openly blurring gender lines. You don't have this. The way in which David Bowie did in the 70s, boldly confronting audiences with overtly homosexual lyrics. So now, for the first time, it's been going on all year, 2012 and before, you now have the new rappers flaunting their homosexuality with men in videos, and it's the new face of rap. Hey, it was always there to begin with. It's coming out of the closet now. This new hip-hop rapper called Leaf is openly gay with purple hair. So, first you have rap music saying necrophilia, rape, and stalking women is manly. Is that manly? And now it's finally coming back to saying, oh, by the way, we're sodomites too. See? Here's another headline. Frank Ocean's coming out as bisexual changes homophobic hip-hop genre. Today is a big day for hip-hop. Urban music mogul Russell Simmons wrote in an open letter to Ocean. According to NPR music critic Ann Powers, R&B has a long track record of embracing androgynous male performers like Prince. Here's another headline. New wave of bisexual gangsta rap music. Here's another headline. Azealia Banks, rapper, comes out as bisexual in New York Times. Here's another headline. Hip-hop's anti-gay tone is now shifting. Then you have another one. It is ironic and sad that 80% of hip-hop is homosexual. And then what about this? Suge Knight recently went on the Howard Stern show and told Howard that 95% of the rappers he works with and knows are homosexual. How many? He should know, shouldn't he? He should know. What am I saying? I'm saying when you listen to music that's rebellious, that perverts the music and turns it upside down, and the devil wants to pervert what God has created, there's no other way for it not to be homosexual. And the more you listen to it, the more you're adopting a spirit of all that is queer and rebellious and unmanly. Unmanly. And this is why you put these kids on it, and they listen to this sodomite music, and they begin to disrespect women, but then pretty soon they don't like women at all. See? They don't like women at all. And I tell you what, I don't care if you're white, Hispanic, black, it's time to detoxify and get this mess out of our veins so we can save a generation of children. You say, is it because it's loud? You don't like things that are loud? If it's loud at the right time and the right place, it's good to be loud. I don't care if you play skillfully. You ought to play skillfully. You ought to play good and with a loud noise. And I'm not against any of that at the right time and right place. But I am against, I think it would do you good as fathers to look at some of these queer bands today and don't do anything immoral or sit and listen to it, but just look at how they're dressed. Look at the spirit. So you can look at your children and say, you know what? You're not going to wear stuff that's too small for you anymore. You're not going to dress like a little boy that's 8 years old when you're 15. You're just not going to do it. You're going to start wearing clothes that fit you. And this tight stuff and all this, this is all gay stuff. It's all gay. You got it from a culture that invaded our public school. This is where, and we need to detoxify, folks. Detoxify your family. Detoxify your hearts. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to love you. Amen. If the ways of the world, friendship with the world, are justified, how can there be any confession and repentance? See, after salvation, Christians need to be daily cleansed through the blood of Jesus. They need the cleaning of the blood that's through the washing of the Word, confession of sin, renewing of the mind. But if you justify sin, how are you going to change it? You get my point? The adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So I'm going to close with just one simple question to you here. Got a few more verses. Why do many believers continue with heavy metal poisoning and such like in their hearts? They continue in spiritual toxicity for the same reasons they continue in physical toxicity. Why did the rich young ruler run up to Jesus only to later walk away in sorrow? Because Jesus began to preach against money for that man, and he happened to be what? He happened to be rich. Christians often continue in physical weakness and sickness through harmful habits and ways because, number one, they're lazy. Number two, they gamble. Number three, they allow the ways of the majority to make them complacent. Number four, they choose to believe what is convenient. Number five, they're afraid they will be called radical. Number six, they reject knowledge. Number seven, they're unwilling to make the necessary sacrifices. Why do people continue to put pesticides in their bodies? Well, I just gave you seven reasons. Seven reasons. Lazy. They gamble. They say, I don't think it messed up everybody else. I don't think it messed up me. The majority doesn't do that. That's starting to change as more and more people wake up to things. But the majority eats the pesticides. You'll always find somebody that can tell you what you want to believe or what's convenient to believe. I mean, they know that they can put out on the web. You certainly don't call up the company, is your cookware bad for me? I mean, come on, folks. You don't call up somebody that sells pesticide food. Is it true that pesticides will give me heavy metal toxicity? Well, these same reasons for why people continue in physical weakness and bad habits will apply to why many believers will not give up their addictions to sinful lyrics and music. Why? Well, you're lazy. It takes some effort to change, doesn't it? They gamble. I've seen many people stay within that music culture, and they said, I don't think it'll mess with me. Well, I've seen it mess with everybody else, brother. They said, it won't mess with me. I grew up in Sunday school. It's not going to hurt me. No, I think it'll hurt you too. And then pretty soon you find out it brings cancer, spiritual cancer, to their whole family. No, it hurts you. You gambled and lost. You gambled and lost. See, you don't play with fire. They allow the ways of the majority to make them complacent. Well, everybody listens to this music. They choose to believe what's convenient. But the Bible said, be not what? Deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't let nobody deceive you. Let no man deceive you. It's going to mess with you. It's going to change you. Well, if I give up that music, I'll be called radical. You know the point. You know the point. You know the point, don't you? The reason people won't purify their homes physically, the same reason they don't purify them spiritually. And I understand it's a growth. But I want to do everything I can as a preacher to give you lots of motivation to grow. Amen? As long as you're willing to come here and sit, I'm going to do everything I can to compel you to be as healthy as you can be physically and spiritually. And I don't apologize for it. I don't apologize at all. 2 Kings 17:33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Now, isn't that a little strange? What's it say? They feared the Lord. Seems their fear was taught by the precept of men. It seemed the manifestation of that fear was not what God intended. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. Some contradiction there, isn't it? In other words, they had some outward profession of reverence for God, didn't they? They had some respect for God. They had a what of godliness? Form of godliness. Verse 41 of 2 Kings says, "So these nations feared the Lord and served the graven images." So I don't have any graven images. Well, what do you think video is? I don't bow down and worship it. Oh, a lot of Christians do. A lot of Christians do. When you get nervous because that's your security and you can't wait to get out of the company of Christians so you can run home and you know there's some rebellious covetousness and sin that's associated with that. And you love your idols and you love to... I tell you what, if that's not idolatry, I don't know what is. I believe we have more blatant idolatry in our nation than some of these ancient nations did. You had to at least go to a temple and bow down to it and give your respect to the idol. But now they bring it right in their living rooms. Both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so did they unto this day. Or if you want Amos 6, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Because you know what people are going to say? They're going to say, you know, preacher, you're just a little too radical. Or maybe you're just too complacent. Ye that put far away the evil day and caused the seed of violence to come near. Sounds like watching wicked, violent movies to me. That lie upon beds of ivory. There they are. There's their couches. It didn't say nothing about no couch. Okay, stretch themselves upon their couches. There it is. All right. That chant to the sound of the viol. That's guitar. I know there's all kinds of viols, but the point is that thing's electrified today. Say, so you believe it's wrong to play guitar? No, I don't. I believe guitar is great, but you ought not chant to it. You ought not let it lead you into some mindless ritual where you are losing your mind and you're listening to queer music and rebellious music. Amen? I mean, just the sound of some of that stuff can stir up and trigger an attitude that says, you know what? I've been a little uptight about things spiritually. I need to let loose and just party a little bit and let down my guard and taste a little bit of this world and go out and see the daughters of the land like Dinah did. And that's what that music does to you. James 4, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand. That's that purification detox we're talking about. Ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There's that double-minded. They feared the Lord, but they served their own gods. They feared the Lord. We talk about, hey, in America, we need a moral awakening. We need to get back to some basic liberties and an understanding of liberties. And then you're going to put on AC/DC and everything that's against God, everything that celebrates hell and perversion and evil and murder and rape. You're going to put that stuff on and glorify it? And you think God's going to bless us? I'm for liberty, but I want to know who's on my team. We're going to march to war, buddy. What banner are we going under? If it's AC/DC's Highway to Hell, I'm not marching up the hill with you. If the Lord's not in it, going to fail. Say, what's your answer? Get on our face first and ask God to raise up godly leaders in this land. Get on your face and repent of the music that's wicked. Repent. Say, well, I don't know enough about music to know it's wicked. Buddy, you can't tell what they're singing about. You can't read lyrics. Isn't that enough? Second Corinthians 6 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Don't touch it and I will receive you. Don't you want God to receive you? I do. And I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. There's that detoxification from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that's the true, sincere, unadulterated fear of God. And I'm just thinking, folks, it's about time that we get back to some strength and health in our families. Shun poisons and toxins. And let's begin to take in some things that clean these things out of our body. But don't just clean the body and leave your spirit and heart double-minded and wicked. We got stuff in our hearts. Stuff you should have never seen. There's movies that you've watched and the images are still in your mind to this day. Still in your mind to this day. No matter how many sermons you've heard, no matter how much Bible reading you've done. So let's never go down that road to begin with. Young people, don't say, well, I'll just partake of this stuff and then I'll try to cleanse it out. It's harder to cleanse out of your heart than you realize. It is. It can be done. But it's going to take some radical confession of sin and turning to God and renewing our minds through the Holy Scriptures. How shall a man cleanse his way? How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. I open up the floor, dear brethren, if there's any comments before we close our night. My dear